The Legally Brief podcast is produced by the law offices of Judy Saunders. Legally Brief is a biweekly show that offers opinions and conversations with experts on why abuse exists, what the law is doing about it, and ways survivors can reclaim their lives. If you stop right this second to rate and review this show on iTunes or your listening platform, you will do your part in spreading Legally Brief's mission of creating a world where children can play, gather, and learn free of abuse from authority figures and institutions. And now your host, Judy Saunders.
Hello. So today on Legally Brief, we are discussing a topic directly related to the abuse, the psychological, which includes that verbal, emotional abuse of elite athletes done by an authority figure, in this case, a coach. And it really brings up the question of who is coaching who and what have we learned and been taught as adult. I was directed to the May 29, 2020 New York Times article that was written by Juliette McCarr. And the title of that piece was, "She Accused a Coach of Abuse, Then More Than 30 Gymnasts Backed Her Up." And in that article, Ms. McCarr described abuse by a former gymnast, Sarah Allen. Now, Ms. Allen was a young athlete who was coached by Chris McCain in New York City's Chelsea Piers. Through that article, we learned that Coach McCain used allegedly very intense and constant abuse of these young gymnasts to produce athletic results. In 2018, the gymnast, Sarah Allen, reported that she was abused, and she made these reports to the adults in her life, but there was no action taken at that time. Then, after the recent 8-year suspension of the coach, New Jersey coach Maggie Haney, Sarah felt hopeful, and she made a second reporting describing the abuse by Coach McCain done to her and her teammates. So as it turns out, Miss Allen's, the former gymnast, these allegations were corroborated almost immediately by her teammates, family members, and even other coaches. As it turns out, for 15 years, Coach McCain, you know, as described in the article, was roaming free in Chelsea Piers, which is this huge, cavernous, big steel and concrete structure. It's a gym facility in New York City where over 30 young girls were just daily, allegedly abused, psychological and physical abuse. According to Sarah Allen, the girls were exposed to verbal attacks. These attacks arranged from assaults on their bodies and assaults on their minds. It seems like Coach McCain was the girls' team head coach since 2007. Now, this alleged pain caused by Coach McCain was done to these girls who were desperate to please her. And I think that one of the best takeaways and what was poignantly expressed in the article was the words of a parent, David Bach. And it identifies Mr. Bach as one of the parents of a gymnast by the name of Maya Bach. Now, this father, David, he stated that he had not seen any glaring signs of abuse. And when he would confront Coach McCain about his daughter coming home in tears, the coach would tell him, you know, Maya just needs to overcome her fear. Mr. Bach went on to say that, you know, look, a generation ago, parents might not have thought twice if a child came home crying after a meeting with an authority figure like a priest. You know, I found that Mr. Bach's statement is profound and cuts to the center of why, regardless of the passage of time, endless complaints of abuse and even media coverage of this event, we still have, you know, children falling prey to the Maggie Haneys and individuals in the gymnastic world like John Getter and other abusive coaches. You know, the children are suffering. And I think that one of the things that Mr. Bach brings up is that the parents, we have also been coached and we've been coached well. Not until adults truly process and these authority figures truly accept that they cannot use their position to cause anxiety, physical harm, and exact fear, will this tide of abuse in youth sports cease to rise? We've seen investigative reports, series done on some of the video streaming Netflix, athlete advocates who have been advocating for decades. You've had survivors who have raised the alarm, you know, talking about the psychological abuse in such sports as gymnastics, figure skating, tennis, swimming. This has gone on for decades. Even the tiniest child athlete has waged their own, you know, silent protest in the form of, you know, these children will appear tougher. They'll complain less. These children will perform on broken bones to win the praise of these abusive coaches. And then, unfortunately, when the child athlete even prevails and pleases their coach, the psychological damage by these authority figures has already set in. So that parent, David Bach, he really highlights that we've been groomed. You know, adults have been groomed. Parents have been groomed by these authority figures who hold themselves out as experts and lead us to believe that a little suffering is good, that, you know, this abuse, children crying, children mistrusting their own reason, mistrusting their own bodies, that that's part of the acceptable practices. You know, from the beginning of a young athlete's career, abusive coaches, and we are speaking only of abusive coaches, they groom a child to accept that the abuse is normal. And it's not until you see very, very harsh symptoms of the abuse being exhibited by the child do you learn of the suffering. We know, and statistics back, that it's very rare that children will speak out, or what we call outcry the abuse. In many states, in New York, in New Jersey, and California, you have had recent legislation that has extended the statute of limitations for children and adults bringing causes of action for abuse. Some of these statutes have increased the age for someone to bring a claim up to 55. The average individual does not speak of or seek any type of redress against an abuser well into their 50s. That just tells you how long an individual suffers and how long the silence. So when you have an abusive coach that is leading you to believe, trust me, I know how this is done. Trust me. Your child is just crying because they haven't worked hard enough. Your child is crying because this is part of the process to produce an Olympian or an elite athlete or the best goalie or swimmer, that this is part of the process. That goes back to that generational thinking that I thought was so adequately expressed by Mr. Bach, that, you know, a generation ago, we thought nothing when a child came home crying after having a meeting with an authority figure like a priest.
During the podcast launch period, we have a perfect offer for our early supporters. Child USA is a pioneer in the movement to end child abuse in all forms, among competitive sports, child marriage, negligent, physical, sexual, trafficking, child exploitation. Child USA is staffed by experts, scientists, and professionals from many disciplines, all dedicated to educate, provide research, data, and resources to end abuse of children. Child USA, in their wisdom and expertise, created a curated specialized library, so you do not need to blindly research Google or other search engines for answers, help, and support. For a very limited time, when you do three things, subscribe to the Legally Brief podcast, and rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, or other platform. Legally Brief will select one listener each month to receive free access to Child USA's curated library. This is a valuable offer only offered on this podcast for a limited time. You must leave your email information so we can reach you and give you access to relevant, eye-opening guides to many of your most perplexing problems.
So to help your child have a healthy sporting experience, beware of these six behaviors that you may see. Stay alert to if there is an authority figure, a coach, whomever, that prohibits you, the parent or the adult, from watching practices. Or maybe there's an understanding that parents are not welcome. That's a warning sign. If you are constantly hearing feedback from an authority figure, your child is difficult, your child is always misbehaving or lazy, and those are accounts based solely on that authority figure. But you're going to want to beware regardless if someone is giving you that type of feedback on your child, especially in a sporting activity that should be work, but also should be fun at young ages. Beware of your child refusing to discuss. They won't discuss any portion of their practice or any time that they spent with the authority figure. They maybe become agitated. You want to be aware about that. Maybe you have the child that's pleading or requesting that you not directly contact the authority figure. You, mom, dad, don't send any texts. Don't talk. Don't say what I told you. You can't talk to them. Your child may be fearing some type of retaliation when they return back to a field of play by that authority figure. Fifth warning sign that you're going to want to be aware of. Your child appears withdrawn, crying, anxious, fearful, or is starting to show signs of prolonged sadness. The sixth sign that you're going to want to be aware of and stay alert to is authority figures who are minimizing the consistent and repeated injuries that occur to your child. So you may hear phrases that put blame on the child. Well, your child did this. Your child jumped too quick. They didn't follow my instructions. A shifting blame or minimizing an injury. And if you remember nothing else, the takeaway that is important is that misconduct and abuse by authority figures, it was wrong when it occurred a generation ago, and it remains wrong and improper today. Regardless of who that authority figure is, a minister, a coach, or a teacher, you want to be aware that those experiences between that person and your child do not have to be unpleasant. They do not have to be situations where the line is being crossed. When you learn or you even witness a situation that makes your child feel uncomfortable. So even if you have witnessed a situation with that authority figure in your child that makes you feel uncomfortable, gather your thoughts. Detach yourself from the outcome. Outcome may be you're going to have to search now for a new gym or a new team or even pursue another activity. The goal is to detach yourself from the outcome and know that the more important thing you're doing is that you're modeling for your child and you are not letting an authority figure cross that line. You are acting on authority of your child. You're acting on the authority of what's right. Be certain. The one thing that you will be doing is you're teaching your child an important lesson, and that lesson is to guard their own personhood and to set a firm boundary so that your child knows how to identify abuse and how not to let it happen to themselves. So I hope that I have given you some useful information, and I thank you for taking this time to listen to the Legally Brief podcast. Please remember to keep the conversation going over at our Facebook group and Instagram page. I can be reached also directly at 212-709-8141. And as always, in parting, there is no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way it treats its children. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Legally Brief podcast. Remember to join Judy and fellow listeners at the Legally Brief Facebook group. Contact Judy at judy@jsaunderslawfirm.com.
All information and content in this podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. Nothing in this podcast shall constitute legal advice and shall not create an attorney-client relationship. This information is general and may not be applicable to your particular circumstances. You should review your particular circumstances with an attorney. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this podcast is hereby expressly disclaimed.